Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you want a home in the Central Florida area for any size family to visit Walt Disney World, Universal, or any of the other Orlando attractions, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Hawaii at Alani, Hilton Head Island, Vero Beach, or any of the other Disney resorts, contact DVCByRequest.com. Again, David's Vacation Club Rentals, DVCRequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter at any of the Disney World resorts, contact Scooter Vacations at ScooterLando.com. And last but not least, our great friends over at American Tourist Travel. If you want to book any Disney travel vacation, contact us at American Tourist Travel. I can help you personally. We also book anywhere else in the world you want to go. So please, guys, if you want to check out any of our sponsors, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. Now we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Have a great day.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Hey, good morning. Championship Saturday. Championship Saturday for all our college conferences. So, good day of football. So.
Yeah, my Nittany Lions aren't in any championship, as far as I know, after the way they played the last few weeks. So.
Yeah, that's the Big Ten. I think that's Ohio State and I think Wisconsin, isn't it?
So. Yeah. They both beat us, so it's all
I know the feeling. The two teams that are playing for the SEC are the ones that beat the Gators. So there you go.
Yeah, it sucks. But I don't know. My stupid birds still have a chance. Oh, wait, hold on. This portion of the podcast is being brought to you by Carmen and Brian. If you want to watch any Disney or any travel videos, go over to YouTube and watch Carmen and Brian and ask them if they like football in the message, in the question column.
There you go.
All right, anyway. Now, you believe my stupid Eagles have a chance to still make the playoffs with how bad the stupid Cowboys are playing?
We were talking about that a couple of days ago. It's amazing. You were comparing it to the NFC South of several years ago when the Bucs, like nobody wanted to win the division. The Bucs, the Panthers, and the Saints just all farting around all season. That's what your division's doing now. Nobody wants to win. So.
No, I'm praying to goodness that it happens like it did last year. Last year we were 5-7, and we ended up winning the last four games and ended up 9-7, if you follow me, and won the division. Yeah. And we were one drop pass from Alshon Jeffries from going to the NFC Championship game again. We got on that roll again, if you follow me.
There's a lot of teams that can find themselves at this time, take the wild card, and then remain hot through the playoffs and can make a nice run. So,
There's been if you remember, there's been a couple teams. I think the Pats won a Super Bowl
wild card. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know Pittsburgh did the 1 year. They were left for dead, and then next thing you know, they're in the Super Bowl. So, I'm not saying by any means. So don't write me. Like right now, we're playing like a pack of garbage, but. You know, if you're a true fan, you continue to root. You know, just like we do for Disney, John. When they do something wrong, we're true fans. We call them out on it, but we still love them.
Stick to it. Yep, stick to it.
I love my Eagles. So, and the sad part is it's a plus and a minus. I get to wait till Monday night to watch what happens. And we play the stinking Giants, which I hate almost as much as the Cowboys.
Yeah, but it's a division game, so there you go.
Yeah, we get to play them twice in the next 4 weeks. Ain't that crazy the way it is? Our schedule this year, not to make any excuses, it was the hardest schedule in the NFL, and it was the worst schedule that was ever made. And it wasn't us saying it. It was like, you know that NFL Network show?
Right.
At the beginning of the season. Dude, we had three road games against number one teams in a row. I mean, I don't remember ever being on the road three consecutive weeks. So it just, and then we get to play the Patriots as a bonus after they have their bye week too. Usually you have a bye week and you get a bonus out of having that.
Yeah, a little advantage.
No, we had
not having a bye week.
So. Exactly, but now we got the beauty of them also having a bye week. Anyway, the going from that to we didn't have, there was no bye week in Disney this week with all this news that came out of there with rides and Rise of the Resistance and Ratatouille. They showed the mouse. I mean, they showed some behind the scenes stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on down at the mouse right now.
Yeah, did you hear something about some kind of new attraction opening at Hollywood Studios or something? Some vague news about that? So.
Yeah, I mean, I was I think I caught something on Twitter about that, John.
Late
at night the other night. Now, everybody seems to love that. Rise of Resistance, everybody seems to love. I mean, I said off the air, and I'll say it now, it reminds me of the great, and I'm not passing any shade here on Disney at all. It's just my opinion of what I think it looks like. It reminds me a lot of the video I've seen of the Great Movie Ride.
I think the seating format is very similar to it, and perhaps how the vehicles move and stuff. Very similar to the Great Movie Ride, but the ride itself is probably very much different. But the configuration of it.
Yeah, but I think how you go from scene to scene is kind of like, in the Great Movie Ride, you went to different movies. But with this, you're just going from different phases and different action going on, it looks
right,
like to me.
Right.
And then there is some live-action characters in there.
Very cool.
I mean, isn't there some, from what you've seen, from what I've seen, I think there's some live-action characters in there, too, some of the Stormtroopers.
I don't know. I haven't watched any of it because I'm waiting to go do it. I'm going to wait a week or two for the initial rush to die down, but then I guess one day I'll probably get up at 3:30 or 4 o'clock and try to go do it. So.
Yeah, they've been having a lot of problems with it, though.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to wait a couple of weeks for it to even out a little bit. So.
Yeah, I'm shocked they're having the problems. I mean, they're having problems above and beyond with this. I mean, it's like they can't get it to stay running all day for the love of goodness.
Well, that's the same problem, or very similar to the problems they had, Universal had with their new Hagrid's Coaster. Both of these companies are rushing their attractions out instead of taking their time and getting them done correctly. But they put these deadlines on themselves, and then they feel that they must do it, and they rush them out without them being, you know what? I mean, I'd rather, I guess people, you know, it's me, I'm here. So I was just saying, I'd rather wait another month and it be done correctly. But people have vacation scheduled and everything else, and my God, they would lose their mind if they had scheduled their vacation and it wasn't ready. So.
Well, how about they just do? I mean, that's a problem in this world in general now. I mean, the deadlines on any construction site that we're doing is absolutely ridiculous.
Unrealistic, yes.
It is. And what their goal is, it's the same thing that Disney's doing with this is, what these bigwigs with their little pocket protectors sitting up in the office that don't know their butt from third base when it comes to what goes on a job site. But because they can draw it and do it, makes it and they think it could be done in the time of the dream world that everything goes right, that the truck driver showing up to the job with the material doesn't get caught in traffic, that all the material shows up perfectly, that nothing gets broken inside the warehouse before it's shipped out, of everything going perfectly where everything on the job site's orchestrated, where you don't lose 1 second of time. You know what I'm saying, John? Like when the painters are bringing in 200-300 gallons of paint and they're in your way so you can't get to your stuff. Yeah, but if the perfect world goes right, they'll make it on this exact date.
Yeah.
So what the world is all about now is we're going to set this unrealistic date. We're going to say the job is done. Then we're going to have 3 months of a punch list to do after it's open. Kind of like what Disney's doing right now is they got it done in an unrealistic time. But now they're going to have to tweak with it for the next 3 months. But they really don't care because they could say they got it done on time, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, and one of the prime examples is our hurricane scare we had this year. You know, even though the hurricane didn't strike us, the entire friggin' state of Florida took off like 2.5 days. I mean, the dumps were closed, Disney was closed, all kinds of crap, because we were all terrified that hurricane was going to smack right into us.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's a good example right there. You know they had one or two unscheduled days off right there. And that will just mess up the whole thing. So.
But to let you know a secret, the people that sit with their pocket protectors, like the money-grubbing Bob Igers, they don't really care that you lost 2.5 days. All that matters is the day that they said it would open. So instead of giving, and then it's all about, oh my God, we might have to not have a $68 million bonus. We might have to have a $67 million bonus if we give these guys an extra month to get, you know, so they don't have to work like a bunch of crazy people to get it done. You know what I'm saying, John? Like,
yeah.
14-hour days, 12-hour days where you can't see straight. It's the way building it is right now, everything is unrealistic. And then they have a punch list that's so long. But Disney don't care with this because the great and the ride looks beautiful. I cannot wait to get my butt in those seats. But the thing of it is they're happy too. They don't care if it breaks down because you're already there. You're going to go spend money at Santui Canteen and spend money on property. And that's all they really want.
Yeah, well, they got you there for it. So. But, yeah. I mean, any of these attractions, if I were going to schedule a vacation, I think I would schedule 2 months after the predicted date. I'm just saying, you know. So.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they even know it's not going to work, right? They don't really care because once they have you in there, if you don't get on it, yeah, they'll give you a fast pass. That ain't no skin off their back, right?
Yeah.
And then they get you back again to spend another day's worth of money if you're just a solo guest.
Yeah, and the thing is, Doug, this is
a single day.
Universal does the same thing. They rushed, like I said, they rushed Hagrid's coaster out, and it had the same issues. So,
well, I 100% agree with you. It's building in general, but this is, what's the name of this show? It's WDW Main Street Walt Disney World Podcast. It's not Universal Podcast.
I don't know. I cover all of the Central Florida attractions.
So. There you go, John. Yeah, well, let me know. Fill me in on what your job obligations are here, John. I don't know. I didn't know you covered all of Central Florida. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, so anyway, you're headed in to play on another day of Pirates, correct?
I don't know about play, but I'm on the way in, so that's for
not
sure.
Feeling too good. Johnny needs a sniffling, sneezing so he can work on Pirates rest medicine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dayquil.
Yeah. But anyway, did you hear the show, John? I'm sorry you weren't a part of it, but we had our buddy Jay Leonard on from the Wyndham Resort, Lake Buena Vista and Garden. It was a pretty good show, John.
Yeah, it was entertaining and interesting to hear a little bit about Wyndham and especially the proximity to Disney Springs. So.
And again, just so all of our listeners know, one of the reasons we started talking, I reached out to him is because the pure lack of a moderate-priced hotel anymore at Walt Disney World. Everything's either value or deluxe. I mean, they aren't making any more moderate rooms, and that's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, and, I mean, Doug, it goes beyond just no more moderates. You think the last value they built was, I guess, Art of Animation, but only one wing of that is really what you would consider value, and that's the Little Mermaid rooms. All the other ones are family suites that are priced above what moderates are priced at. So I wouldn't even consider that a value, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't see... All I see from now on at Disney itself doing is probably DVC resorts and deluxe. That would be about it. So.
Yeah, and I don't even see... I mean, the only reason deluxe is going up is because when they build the DVC, they're adding a few regular rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see anything being built that isn't mostly DVC. Was there making us, you guys, everybody in the community pay for it?
Because Riviera's DVC and the new one there at the Contemporary Modernist Lodges, that's going to be DVC. So.
Yeah, the new, it's back there where the new Sanctuary,
Sanctuary Resort.
Yeah,
whatever it's going to be called.
But no, there's no no hotels that isn't built by a third party that I see in the future. That Disney's going to be built there. Anything else that's going to be moderate or value will be third-party hotel. Disney ain't in that game no more. They're in the game of DVC and letting the customer pay for it. You know, and so anyway, that's the reason why we got a hold of it. We started talking to Jay and them over at the Wyndham because they have a beautiful resort. And Disney has given, even though a lot of our listeners, hey, Judith, has been upset and you can't. And you understand why, because now they get all the same perks as Disney. You know what I'm saying? But with the way the hotel space is, Disney had to do something for the moderate guest. And instead of building something, they gave every one of the same advantages you have to staying on property to all the hotels on Hotel Plaza Boulevard. And I think it's about time, because why did Swan and Dolphin always have it and these hotels didn't?
Yeah, I think the only thing you don't get is magic bands. So you can't use your bands to charge stuff in the parks, and you can't open your room with it. But other than that, you get everything else. So.
Yeah, but you could buy yourself a magic band and link your ticket to it.
Yeah, you can link your ticket, but you can't link your room to it, and you can't charge stuff in the parks. So. Judith and Tommy couldn't even do that at the Swan and Dolphin. So.
No, but that ain't no big deal. I got a credit card, same way.
Yeah, if I'm saving $100, Apple Pay, you know.
So. Yeah, if I'm saving $100 a night with twice the amenities, why not?
There you go.
You know, so, and you're a hop, skip, a jump, and a toss away from being over at Marimota Asia, homecoming. I mean, want to talk about? Everybody talks about the restaurant you have when you stay at the Boardwalk and Yacht and Beach Club and that area. Dude, look at the restaurant you have right in your backyard if you stay at one of these hotels.
Well, that's why we didn't mind staying at Saratoga Springs the last couple of times, because you have all those restaurants within walking distance. So.
Yeah, you're literally right over that little bridge and into the wonderland of food.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but, yeah, we've been tweeting back and forth. We, with me being online and talking about Disney Springs, I cannot wait to get down to Rome through those restaurants, John. They're absolutely I love all those restaurants. I haven't had a bad meal yet in the Springs.
Well, speaking of Disney Springs, would you like to cover a little bit of what me and Lisa did on Monday then?
Yeah, go ahead. Before we start the news, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, so we headed out. We were going to go to several different parks and see the Christmas decorations and stuff like that, but we were going to start at we parked at French Quarter, took some pictures there, had the beignets for breakfast, which is always a good start. And then took the boat, or we walked over to Riverside so we could see those. I walked around there, looked at the gift shop, that type of stuff, took some pictures. And then took the boat from Riverside. It goes back to French Quarter and then over to Disney Springs. And I filmed that ride. It's on our Facebook page. It was a beautiful day. It was probably, when we were on the boat, it was like 51 and breezy, so it was nice and chilly. It was absolutely gorgeous. No clouds in the sky or anything. And it was really cool. We got down to Disney Springs, and we come out, and the little boy behind us, he goes, "Awesome! Awesome!" And you just hear him the entire time. He's totally stoked about how cool Disney Springs looks. So we got down there.
Before you continue to go, let me elaborate a little bit, John. You can't do all the talking on this show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know I talk over you all the time.
It's okay. But tell me, that ride down to Sascoula, is it one of the best rides, period, on Disney property? I mean, I'm even comparing it to the TTA, anything in the parks. I enjoy that just as much as any Space Mountain or anything else. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, that's pretty much why we did it.
Yeah, exactly.
we could have parked at Disney Springs and went directly to Disney Springs, but instead we parked at French Quarter so we could purposely take the boat. So, I love that ride, and especially at this time of year where it's not, you know, 100% humidity. So.
Dude, that's one of the things. When me and Brenda, like I told the story many moons ago, the reason we ended up at Dixie Landing at the time was because we got it in a day early and Caribbean Beach didn't have a room. So we didn't have park tickets, so we just went down to Pleasure Island and hung out. We were in our mid-20s, so how much better could that be, John?
There you go.
Yeah, but just taking that boat ride and going by, I remember the tree houses, and at that time, if you remember the students from the Disney, the college students used to be able to stay in those houses, remember?
Yeah.
For the longest time, they had college students and all staying in them. And I remember riding down that river and seeing the beauty and the golf course. I mean, and we did it at night the first time, and then the day after that. But, dude, that was one of the things that 100% had me already booking another vacation because of the beauty of that ride.
There you go. Very, very peaceful, tranquil, and like I said, it was absolutely gorgeous that day. So even the weather was great. So
that's the Disney difference there, those rides. So go ahead, you shove it. Let me repaint the picture. Child says, "Look at the beauty of the springs." John says, "Yes, young man, look at it. It's gorgeous. Look across the view." Now go ahead,
isn't
John.
Fantastic. Yeah, so we parked down there. We did the holiday tree or the Christmas tree trail. Walked through there, took some nice pictures. Did that. Then we We walked through a couple of the shops. I always like that. I like to cook a lot with all this free time I have. Well, I go in that spice shop. I always go in there. We shop through some of the spices and stuff. I bought a nice mix for Alfredo sauce that I make. So we did that, and then we ended up getting hungry for some lunch because the beignets, you know, they're good, but they're not very filling. So, or not at least one and a half. It's not like we eat four of them a piece anyway. So we ended up at Earl of Sandwich. Lisa wanted the chicken noodle soup from Wolfgang Puck's, and they discontinued it on their menu for some reason.
Which
was very disappointing, especially on a chilly day like that. But we ended up at Earl of Sandwich. I had the holiday sandwich. And I like seven of their sandwiches, but it's, you know, it was December 1st. You got to get the holiday sandwich, I thought. And Lisa had the big chicken noodle soup there, and she said it was good, but it wasn't as good as the one that used to be from Wolfgang Puck's. So,
now, was it completely off the menu, or did they just have a problem getting it, maybe?
Yeah. I went in and checked, and they said it's been discontinued. It's no longer sold. So.
Nah, that's sad. And did the holiday sandwich, just lie if you have to, John, the holiday sandwich with the tryptophan made you tired, didn't it, John?
I wanted to sit down and take a nap afterwards.
There you go. See, Pat, it does make you tired. Yeah. Anyway, so did you enjoy it? Was it good?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. It's always good. It has the cranberries, the sliced turkey, the stuffing inside, a little bit of gravy, Swiss cheese. Oh, it's very good.
It's basically if you, at Thanksgiving,
you
stopped it. No, what you did is you stopped and you bought yourself a big, huge hoagie roll or torpedo roll, monster one, told the wife to turn her head the opposite way, and you just took spoons and just everything that's on the table you put in that sandwich. Am I right?
Pretty much. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. So, but it's very good. It is very good. Eat the whole thing. You're stuffed.
Yeah, it's good, but it's definitely one of those things you maybe want once during the season. I couldn't eat one of those once a week.
That's the type of meal that one of my ex-partners, God rest his soul, my buddy Mike, he would go to lunch and he would eat like a large hoagie like that and a large mac and cheese and then wonder why he couldn't move after. He was useless to me after
Holy
lunch.
Cow.
Yeah, I'd be like, Mike, he goes, I'm like, come on, dude, we got to get this house done. He goes, man, I'm tired. I said, yeah, you just ate a half a truckload of food. Like, because they'd break my stones because I'd eat, I don't know, you guys have Wawa down there. I eat the little shorty. It's like a half a sandwich for lunch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Wawa has the classic, the shorty, and then the small one. I'll either get the real small 4-inch one or the 6-inch one. I'm just eating to get myself through the day. I don't want to be sitting there like I just ate a pound of irons, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And he would eat every day. He'd eat all this food, and then after 12, then he wondered why I'd push lunch some days to like 1:30, 2 o'clock, because I knew once he ate, it was over. We might as well just go home.
Day's done.
But that's how that is. If you eat one of those turkey sandwiches, you're done. You're full and they're wonderful, but you're not light on your feet anymore.
Yeah. And it was interesting. So I go around to all the parks and I always ask because I'm a cheapskate. So I'm always asking for discounts everywhere I go, especially cast member discounts because they're usually cheaper than just about anywhere else. And actually, believe it or not, Disney Springs gives you a alcohol discount because of being a cast member. So the Dockside margaritas, they gave us 20% off of a margarita. And then any of those beer stands that actually are run by Dockside Margarita, they give you the 20%. And so it covers your tip, basically. But that's basically what Tables in Wonderland does for you anyway. So, yeah, that worked out great. So I was able to – I got a beer and I got a margarita and got my discounts on them. So I was happy. So,
well, as much as you drink, that ought to save you, what, a grand or two a year?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Between all the parks, John. Now, does Epcot give you any discount on drinks?
Nothing. No, nowhere else gives any alcohol discount. Nothing. Nowhere.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke, dude.
So just Disney Springs. I was really surprised because that was the only place that I've been to. I mean, we get significant discounts on a lot of the sit-down dining restaurants, but very little discounts on in-park quick service. So I think there's maybe one spot at Animal Kingdom that does it. And that's about
And I'm not being smart, and don't take this the wrong way, John, but I think Disney looks at it with the way their pay scale is. Most of the people that work for them are going to be gone because you have another job. But most people work for them are going to be eating quick service, so we're not going to give them a discount. And if they save enough to go to a meal that's going to, we're going to take a lot of money out of their pocket, we'll give them the break. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I mean,
it would be more advantageous for you guys if they gave you the 20% on quick service than the sit down.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I look at it the way that I did when I worked at Haagen-Dazs. We were told anytime that we had credits or if we had new flavors that came out, you take that ice cream home, you credit that out, you take it home, you share it with your friends and families, you eat a pint of it yourself, you learn all about it, because that way when that soccer mom comes up to you on Tuesday morning and asks you what it tastes like, you can give her an accurate description of what that tastes like. Now, why wouldn't they want me to know? You know, I mean, I know, but why wouldn't they want everybody to know what Columbia Harbor House has on the menu that you like and what Pecos Bill's has? I don't get that, you know? I mean, no. I get asked that constantly. I know, but not everybody does.
So. Yeah, you guys, every cast member, like, after you're done work, John, if you knew you got 20% off, you might get changed and go back up and eat lunch or dinner before you go home.
I would, absolutely, because Pecos Bill's, I like Pecos Bill's, I like Columbia Harbor House. I wouldn't mind getting a lobster roll before I headed to the house. Not at all, but with no discount whatsoever, I can't do that. I mean, I can't justify.
It'll be an hour of your pay.
Yeah,
an hour of your pay. You're putting up with all those knuckleheads for 1 hour to eat that lobster roll. Is that fair?
Exactly. Probably about an hour and a half, actually, so yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous, and that's where that guy with the pocket protector sitting up in the corporate offices say, yeah, we'll give them a discount. We'll give them a discount if they can go to the Yachtsman. Or we're not going to give them a discount to go to Columbia Harbor House because that's probably where they go. We're going to give it to them they can't afford to go. Yeah.
Give them 40% at GECO.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't get 10% at Columbia Harbor House. So.
No, but and again, they know that 20, 30-year-old college kids or whatever aren't going to be going to GECO.
No, very unlikely.
Yeah, they're trying to give you – they're giving you something that you want. It's kind of like when you get the rebate. They make you work so damn hard for it, they're hoping you don't go get a rebate. Am I right?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. Yeah, you mean like the computer – how hard those computer rebates used to be?
Yeah, they make it to where they want to give it to you. They want to sound like the good guy for giving it to you, but they're going to make it as hard as humanly possible for you to get it.
I remember we bought a computer probably in 98, and I think we spent $700 on it, and there was supposed to be something like $425 worth of rebates. You had to do this and do this, and I never did a single one of them. I mean, I thought I would, but I didn't. So.
Yeah, you had to stand on one foot jumping up and down and climb a rope at the same time and then call them. It's too much. But anyway, then what did you do, John?
We walked around, went in several different stores. I went into the new Ron John's. We walked around there, and it's a nice store. I was a little disappointed that they had some unique, I guess unique, but not really, Orlando merchandise. But I was looking for something with Disney on it, you know, and I mean, it obviously a perfect blend. Why wouldn't you put Typhoon Lagoon on a Ron John's t-shirt? Because they actually do surfing there. And that would make sense, but they didn't. They had nothing that was unique to they had, and it was just printed Orlando, but I think it was the same designs they had from like Coco or Titusville or any of their other stores. So yeah, I was a little disappointed with that. Coolest thing in there that I saw was a surfboard signed by Kelly Slater. Kelly Slater's a hero around Central Florida because he's actually a local boy that went and surfed the big waves and did well. So
yeah, I seen him on ESPN a few times out in Hawaii.
Yeah. So. But that was about it. I mean, yeah, Ron John's was a little disappointing. And I'm hoping that within maybe it's just because they just opened up, maybe they will get some unique Disney merchandise. I really want to see Mickey on a surfboard is what I wanted. But
well, you might. Give them a little time. And I promise, I was watching ESPN, Kelly Slater surf at Hawaii for the surfing, not the bikinis on the beach that they were showing during that episode. It was all about the surfing, John. Because you know I always talk about hanging 10. But anyway, no, but give it a little time. They might do that. They just opened up. They've only been open up for like a month now. So
That's what I'm thinking. So hopefully they do.
In a little time. They probably got paperwork in with Disney, but Bob's trying to figure out how he can make a few bucks per T-shirt before he approves the design. What do you think?
Sure, Doug, that's it.
What else would it be? But anyway, let's get back to the news. Or did wait, before that, did you head over to any of the parks?
Well, we ended up walking through the rest of Disney Springs because Lisa wanted to look at the NBA store for JJ to see if we could find an Orlando Magic shirt for him. Unfortunately, they only had one choice for a jersey. They had the Gordon guy on our team, but they didn't have the Russian center. That's the one he wanted. And we made our way back, and we stopped at the store right there by the boathouse, and I think it's called it's something D, but they had a bunch of unique 80s Disney afternoon stuff. So I finally found me a phone case of the Chippendales Rescue Rangers. So I was totally excited.
I got that. You posted that.
Yeah, oh yes, absolutely. But I got that. And then, so right there at that point, we're like, we walk by Boathouse, and Lisa smartly says, "Man, John, look at them oysters. And they're actually in season. They're, you know, they start at $3.50 instead of $5.75. Why don't we just stay here and get some oysters? You can get some oysters, and I get something to snack on." And I'm like, "Yeah, but we're supposed to go to Epcot. You know, people are counting on me to go to Epcot and get holiday pictures." So I'm putting it back on Doug. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I mean, I don't make you do anything. I'd rather you be happy and talk about it than sad. But go ahead.
But, so we had the land fast pass, and we wanted to really see that and stuff. So yeah, we ended up walking past that, and then headed back to took the boat back to French Quarter, and ended up at Epcot. We parked at Hollywood Studios and took the gondolas over to International Gateway. Mm-hmm. So that was
nice.
Oh, that was great. And then as soon as we got to Epcot, it was getting dark already. And I like Epcot at dark, but I like it a lot better in the afternoon, especially when I'm trying to eat food. So we ended up getting one thing from Italy, or two things from Italy, the cheese flatbread and the pasta, and both of them were okay, but that with a little glass of wine was $22. So two appetizers and a glass of wine, I'm out $22 already. So we're thinking maybe we'll do something else. We ended up doing the land. I did Soarin', and then we were gonna get something else to eat out there. We're gonna try two or three more. And then we're like, you know what? We're all the way out here. I got to drive all the way home. Let's just stop at Longhorn Steakhouse on the way home. So we just headed out and stopped it and had a big giant steak for half the price I would have paid to eat mediocre food at Epcot. So.
Yeah, so what you got in Italy really wasn't that good.
No, it wasn't. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't gross, but at the price point and stuff. And it wasn't unique to a holiday dish at all. So, you know. I mean, it sounded good, but it was okay. So.
No, I hear you. I mean, if it would have been better than what it was, it would have enticed you to try something else. But being it was so bad, it was like I don't want to try something else again and lose.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So.
Now the land overlay looked awesome.
Land was really good. I had a great seat for Soarin'. By the way, ask for B1. You can't beat that row. That's the best seat in the house. But, yeah, that was fantastic. Land was really, really pretty with the Christmas lights in it and stuff like that. Got some nice pictures of the Christmas tree. So we ended up seeing some of the holiday stuff out there. But I'm quoting Bob here. At the end of the day, I think we would have had a better time if we would have just stayed at Disney Springs for another couple hours and ended up eating oysters at a boathouse and then maybe got something at a homecoming, something like that. So, oh, well.
You know, next time, live and learn, right, John?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I mean, and we had that good of a time at Disney Springs. I bought a phone case, and Lisa bought, of course, we're out there, it's chilly, she has to buy another blanket. She buys a blanket. So that was purchases of about $40, and we spent almost the entire day out there and had a really good time. So,
yeah, that's good. I'm glad you guys really enjoyed it. I mean, again, you can't help but love Disney Springs.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, granted, a lot of the stores are not my price point, that's for sure. But it's always fun to walk through them, even if you can't afford the stuff in them. So.
No, I'm I can't wait to get back down there again, John. I like I said, I've been retweeting a lot of the restaurants down there, and it's like I find myself starving for good food. I want to go out to eat, you know what I mean? And I don't have Disney Springs around here. I got to go back to the Bonefish Grill, which is good, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the ambiance that Disney Springs does. So.
The only restaurant that I would choose close to anything on Disney property is a place called the Crab Trap down here. It's a restaurant, but it's like it's about the distance. It's about an hour and 20 minutes away from the house, so it isn't like right around the corner, if you follow me, to go to it. If it was, we'd be there once a week if it was within our neighborhood. But that's about the only place that I could say I'll make a trip around here to go to. Now, I wish if I lived down there 10 minutes away, I'd be eating at the Springs every day.
Yeah, me and you both, if we get that close, we're going to have to watch our budgets and our waistlines.
So. Oh, absolutely. Well, we'll be walking, John. So there's the excuse for it. But anyway, all the talk this week has been Rise of the Resistance, and everything I've seen on it, it absolutely looks beautiful. They did a really good job. I mean, like I said, the only things I've been hearing is it's shutting down a lot.
Well, that, and I've heard that they're letting people into the parking lot around 4 a.m. So if you're going to go, you better go early.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know. I just think when they open these monster attractions, they got to find a better way to do it. I mean, there has to be a better way, John.
It's crazy.
With today's technology.
When they give us cast previews of stuff, especially of Galaxy's Edge and Smuggler's Run the first time, we had windows. You went on the app, on our cast member app, you signed in, and you were given a window to show up to. It would seem like that's what they could have done on Disney Experience. If you have valid tickets for the day and you're going, you could sign, you know, they should have sent emails out. Okay, so now you have to sign in, pick your window, what time you're going to be here, and that's what you do, you know? So.
Well, they figured out a way to get hundreds of thousands of people to be out of mobile freaking order, but they can't get you on a ride easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it should just be like you said. You just come at certain times. This way you can roam the rest of the park. It would be better for Disney because you could spend – for some – again, there's some knucklehead that has no idea that just sees it on paper and it makes it true, if you follow me. And sometimes just because it says something don't make it true. And that's what I feel here. It's like the poor guest. John, could you imagine 4 in the morning and not getting on it till like noon?
I might. A couple of weeks. I don't know. I don't know if I'm that desperate for it, but I might.
I know I never will. But the point of it is again, they want to do all this crap with technology and everything else and make that. That's all they want to use so they can pay less and less cast members. But when it comes to something like this, they don't want to use any technology. Because do you know why? Do you know what they're doing this for? You know why they do this to everybody? They want the local news. It's all about using you to be stuck there all day. So they get on the news and say, look at the crowds. Look at the amount of people waiting. They showed up at 4 in the morning. The entire park, the whole land is packed. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
That's the only reason, John. It's the only reason they would put people through that.
I'm just happy that everybody's a little more impressed with Rise of the Resistance than they were with Smuggler's Run. So I know that line's not that bad. So.
No, I don't know. I can't wait to see it. Me and Brenda were looking at it the other day. We both can't wait, but I won't be down until a few months after that's open. And if I can't get on, I won't be unhappy. I'll go do something else. I'll just be happy to see the land. I hope it finally lets me get on Flight of Passage easier.
You can try, right?
And I don't understand what's going on here, John. Warwick Davis will not be narrating the December 19th to 21st Candlelight Processional, will be replaced by Gina Davis. And this is like the second person to drop out in the last couple of weeks. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. That's at least I wanted to see. But, oh well.
Sorry. Part of the Epcot International Festival of the Holidays, the Candlelight Processional presents the traditional story of Christmas with 50-piece orchestra, a mass choir, and a celebrity narrator. The processional is performed three times per night, 5, 6:45, and 8:15 p.m. during the holiday season at the American Garden Theater. Yeah, I think it was Cheetah Rivera dropped out a couple weeks ago. It ain't here, but I think that's who dropped out. But the narrators now, here's the revised list. Ming Nan Wen, 11:29 through 12:01, so done already. Neil Patrick Harris is the 2nd through the 5th. He's done. Whoopi Goldberg is there now, the 6th and the 7th. Isabella Rossellini is there, the 8th through the 10th. Alton Fitzgerald White is there, the 11th and the 12th. Gary Sinise is 13th through the 15th. Pat Sajak is there the 16th through the 18th. Gina Davis is there the 19th now through the 21st. Stephen Curtis Chapman is there the 22nd through the 24th. Edward James Olmos is the 25th and 26th. Marley Madeline is the 27th and 28th. And then Lisa Ling is the 29th and 30th, the last two shows. So that's a lot of work, too, for doing three shows nightly.
Yeah, it is. We walked past that, of course, when we were at Epcot, and the crowd there was just massive. People everywhere, and you could see the people getting frustrated that they couldn't. I don't know. There was a woman in front of us that just got super, super upset with her husband because the show was starting at like 6:15, and it was 6:10, and they couldn't get in. Well, I don't know what you were expecting, but yeah, you're not going to see it. I'm sorry. It's a little too busy for that. So. But yeah, she was incredibly upset. So.
Yeah, it's saying here, John, now that they are using the virtual queue, but the crowds are like ridiculous.
Yeah.
It says Disney has employed its virtual crew boarding group for today's opening of the Rise of the Resistance. Parking opened around 4:30 a.m. with guests quickly forming lines inside the park to travel to Batuu. I mean, that's awesome looking to be in the park that early.
Yeah, you can see a sunrise and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's saying the first boarding group entered the attraction at 6:30 a.m. And at the same time, guests just arrived at the park were seeing boarding groups estimates of afternoon. The first step is to making sure you download My Disney Experience app if you don't already have it. Once you enter the park, open the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge section and go to Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Access the boarding group. Click on Find One More. The next screen will share the current boarding status of Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. If boarding groups are available, you may be able to tap Join Boarding Group. There will also be a display indicating which boarding group may now enter the attraction. So if you're getting on this during that day, I don't think you're getting in any group, to be honest with you. You must physically be inside the park to be joining the boarding group. So you have to be there. So that's the problem already. You know what I'm saying, John?
No, I think that's correct. I don't want somebody eating breakfast able to jump me in line. So, yeah, I think you need to be inside the park. So yeah, I agree with that.
No, I think you should be. I think that if you have a ticket already, you should be able to just get a. People should be able to just log on. If you're like you, John, you should be able to get on there and say, "I want to go on next week already," and just do it that way. And if you're guests at the park, add on. I don't know. They have to do something because this was crazy. Anyway, if you're in the park, join the group. But if you're in the park, John, you could be eating breakfast and grab the boarding group.
Well, that's fine as long as you're in the park. I mean, I just go back to dining reservations, and I remember your former buddy on this show talking about how he'd make 5 dining reservations on any given night on his vacation because they didn't know where they wanted to eat. And then sometimes they'd end up canceling and sometimes they wouldn't. So, I mean, if you're going to go, be there and ready to go. So,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
How about they do this? How about they figure out how to do it when you're in the parking lot?
I can see the parking lot, but if you're in your, if I'm inside the park, I've shown enough initiative that I'm actually going to go. But as opposed to somebody sitting in their balcony at Old Key West, I don't know. So, yeah.
Anyway, if you're joining a group, is great. If join a group, if join a boarding group is grayed out, that means the boarding groups are full for the day and no longer available. As long as your My Disney Experience account is linked to your park ticket for you and the others in your group, you'll be able to enroll everyone in a virtual queue at the same time. Make sure you push notifications are turned on for My Disney Experience so you can be alerted if your boarding group is called to return. You'll have up to 2 hours from the time of the alert to go to the entrance of Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. There's no need to rush right over. Please note that joining a boarding group does not guarantee the ability to experience the Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Because that's what was happening. People were getting in these groups, but the ride kept breaking down, so they couldn't get you on.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, so, but, I mean, at least if I do go over there someday next week, and if I can get on one of the boarding groups, at least I can hang out in the park and do some other stuff instead of just waiting.
That's
in the
way
line.
It should be. So yeah, You know, when I originally was reading on this week, nobody was saying that. I didn't read that you could do that. So that's fine, Disney. I'm happy with that. But just to make you stand in that line for 8-10 hours, that's evil, if you understand what I'm saying.
Now let's figure out somewhere where I could park where I don't have to wait to get into Hollywood Studios and then get. I mean, I don't mind getting into the park and all that stuff, but I don't want to have to park at Hollywood Studios. Do you think it, without taking the bus, because the buses are, I guess I could Uber. I could probably park it at Epcot or something and then Uber over to Hollywood Studios. Maybe I could do that. And then after my day was done, I could just walk back through International Gateway and go to my car in Epcot. So,
yeah.
You know?
That would probably be your best bet, John. Or take the gondolas across.
If I parked at Disney Springs, yeah, I'm trying to figure out a way I could walk or something, but at that time of the morning, because no buses are going to be running, I don't think gondolas would be running, I don't think anything would be running at that time of the morning for me to get over there. But
no, well, park at Disney Springs, take an Uber.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep, so. Yeah. But anyway, virtual queue boarding groups in use again today at Star Wars Rise of Resistance. It's already alert came up today. Virtual crew boardings deployed at Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. It keeps going on. Yeah, Cheetah Rivera was the other one that withdrew. There's the news there. Did you see any of the dedication ceremonies? It was really cool. That land does look good at Star Wars Land. They did do a good job. I just keep telling my wife that you and your son. Sorry, JJ. You and your son were disappointed that it wasn't a specific land.
Yeah, Star Wars. And it wasn't as themed as I wanted, but yeah, it's pretty anyway, but it's nothing like Pandora. I mean, Pandora is actually very well themed to Avatar and stuff like that, so, but
yeah, the only thing, my only negative comment about Pandora is I just wish they'd with all the crowds and all the widening of pathways and walkways, I think it's too crunched, the walkways in there. You can't disagree with me on that. They should have made a little more space to move around in there.
Yeah, Pandora's way too small. Star Wars is huge. Galaxy's Edge is absolutely massive. So even with this crowd for the Rise of the Resistance, I don't think the rest of the land is going to be out of control because it is huge. So.
But you get my point. Even when it's not like overly smash crowded in that land, you still feel mushed up. You know, it's very claustrophobic, too, because to me, even though I do know that you can go out a back way and come over at the Lion King, I forget about it, and you feel like you're stuck in a cul-de-sac, and you can't move.
Yeah, because that is kind of over to the side. So.
Yes. That's my only complaint about it. I love both rides. I think they're very good. I love the fact that even though I love Flight of Passage, I do love... I just love this tranquil boat ride. It's the reason I like that is because it keeps it with Disney's roots. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a little too short for me. I really thought it could have been a little longer. Just based on other boat rides, I think by far it's probably less than half of what Pirates is. It's definitely less than Small World, and I would even say less than Rio del Tiempo. So it's a short boat ride. The animatronic at the end is fantastic and worth the ride itself, but it's too short. So.
No, I can't disagree with you on that, but the point I was making, I was happy with the concept that they actually did go with a dark ride like that, like a boat ride.
Yeah, it's very...
Keep with the tradition.
Yeah, very reminiscent of our classic boat rides, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the reason I liked it. So it was like, again, everybody picks on me for being the nasty one, but it touches my heart that they have that. It made me happy that they kept with the Disney roots. Did you and JJ can do this if you do Rise of the Resistance together. Play Disney Parks will offer two new experiences with the opening of Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. There's with the new Star Wars database, you can choose support either side by selecting new jobs within the app as you are moved through the Resistance, clearing and towards attractions. Look for new Star Destroyers icons in your data pad to take on these new jobs. The one job is Distress Signal Receiver. If you choose to help the Resistance, you'll receive a distress signal from Finn, who is undercover on the Star Destroyer near Batu. Connect and help him navigate the ship by selecting his path. And you may even free Resistance prisoners, program droids, and gather information on what the First Order is up to on the way. Depending on the route you share with Finn, you'll uncover items in a schematics exclusive to the assignment. So that's cool that they're doing this, John.
Yeah, something to keep you occupied. I mean, you know, as you say, you like the queues, and it's very interesting, but if you're in the queue for 2.5 hours, there's probably going to need to be something to keep you occupied other than just looking at stuff.
Yeah, so. And even if you're waiting for your virtual queue and you're in the land, you could do this.
Yeah, there you go.
Meanwhile, First Order loyalists entering the Resistance recruit line will be tasked with surveilling and reporting back and on the status of the Resistance supplies. You will be able to communicate with the First Order officers as you make your way through, and with her instructions, you may choose to scan crates, intercept transmissions, or even plant tracking devices from your data pad. So, it's pretty cool. It's something to, I know the kids will like this, including you, John.
Including me.
So, then there's all new commemorative merchandise out there, Rise of the Resistance. My wife will be happy about this over at Epcot, John. They're doing a temporary Starbucks to open at Epcot.
Well, Lisa will be happy about that, too.
It's so sad that they, like, things like, it must be nice to have this kind of money. Like, after the total refurbish, what was that Epcot, that Starbucks at Epcot refurbished, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
No, and it completely destroyed it. I mean, just ripped it apart, like, I'd be sitting there, if I had to rip something apart like that, crying my eyeballs out, spending that kind of money. But anyway.
Speaking of that, we saw the demolition of Bongos at Disney Springs, too. It looks so sad. So, yeah. No more pineapple.
No, after looking at it for so many years, you know.
Yep.
The temporary Starbucks location will open in Epcot in December, replacing the now-demolished Fountain View Starbucks in Future World. The temporary Starbucks will open on December 20th, 2019 and will be located on the recently expanded Rose Walkway near the refreshment port. Similar to the other Walt Disney World Starbucks location, the temporary location will continue to serve beverages, pastries, and breakfast. And all new Starbucks is planned for the central area of the new Epcot to open in the coming years. So it sounds like this one's going to be there for a while. They're probably putting up another kiosk right next to where you can get the poutine and all there.
Yeah, there you go. So, well, speaking of coffee, did you see my fine Joffrey's coffee that I had on the Skyliner the other day? I was able to pick that up at Caribbean Beach.
No, I didn't see that. How was it? Good?
Oh, yeah, it was really good. And I tweeted out a picture for Pat and the Mickey dudes. So.
Yeah, I wonder if they retweeted. Did they retweet it for
you?
Yeah.
Cool. Because I had Joffrey's coffee on the, and it's actually really cool because you have to get off at Caribbean Beach anyway if you're taking the gondolas from Epcot to Hollywood Studios, so you jump right off and walk right down, got a nice hot coffee, and got right back on the gondolas. So it was great. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, did you when you were over there, did you see any of the Ratatouille moving along, John?
You know, there's a lot of construction. You really can't see anything from from driving past it, but
what I mean on the gondolas when you're up, you know, up, yeah, up
that's
and away.
What I'm saying. You can see a lot of construction, but you really can't see any specifics. But yeah, it's definitely construction everywhere. So
we have to get you some knocklers.
There you go.
What I'm trying to see. But did you see that? Have you seen any of the pictures of Ratatouille?
I saw the actual car. Vehicle that shaped like a little rat, right?
So yeah. And my wife thought it was adorable with the little nose.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be. So you can buy one.
Yeah, I doubt that. See, that's the lucky part I have. I'm lucky in so many ways with my wife, so I don't want to get caught in that trap. But one of the lucky things is, as far as that stuff, Brenda has no interest in buying a bunch of that stuff, John.
She's not a fan of the Shotskis, huh?
No, not at all. She's not a big souvenir kind of girl. She'll grab, like, every once in a while one thing if it really hits her, you follow me? But it's few. My wife is the queen of, oh, my God, look how cute, pick it up. Hold it in her hand. I go, get it, hon, if you want it. Nah, and puts it back down. and that must happen at least once a week in Doug and Brenda world. Like, she'll pick up clothes. We'll be in the store. Oh, my God, it's so, I love it. Nah, I don't want it now. And I go, get it. I want to get it for you. So.
Yeah, but I don't really don't want it. Yeah, okay.
There's new droid carts for Coca-Cola that debuted in Disneyland, but I don't hear about them being at Disney World yet, but they're really cool looking. So they'll probably be at Disney World soon. What else do we have here, Johnny? I mean, Ratatouille, I'm totally excited. Oh, the other thing. Lou Mangiello did a video that I seen on the new Mickey Minnie Runaway Train opening soon. And, dude, he was, like, gushing, which I know coming from him, and I love you, Lou.
You have to take that with a grain of salt.
You know, he could gush about opening up a pack of salt at Walt Disney. Oh, my God, it's the best salt I've ever used. When I put it on my fries never tasted better. And mind you, these are fries I bought outside the park, because if I bought fries in the park, they would not need salt. They would be perfect already. But anyway, but no, he said it's mind-blowing, and a lot of other people that did the preview said it was out of this world. So I'm excited about the very first ride that is that has Mickey and Minnie.
It's about time.
So, I mean, I'm totally excited about that. And that's going to open this summer, so I'm hoping. Like, it's one of those deals where we were thinking about coming down sooner, but with some of the Ratatouille and that opening, it might make me want to wait a little bit.
Yeah, they got two new attractions opening up, so.
You know, it might make it to where I want to come when both of them are open now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I got friends going down that want to see me, that I want to see, you know. So we're juggling, like, multiple dates right now. And it all depends on where Uncle Dougie goes to work at. So, you know. Now, there's a lengthy refurbishment going to happen at the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland. I wonder if that'll move on over to Disney World, too.
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't usually always mean the thing, because their Haunted Mansion and their Pirates are totally different than both of ours at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, and they do that overlay every year on their Haunted Mansion. So I know part of it is at least just them taking all that overlay stuff down. So.
Yeah, I read that, but it also said that it's going to be extensive for another couple months. They're doing something else to it. So I'm interested just to see what happens there. That's the only reason I brought it up, because we have one at Disney World, too. So, Monorail Black debuts new red, delta, and sleek interior at Walt Disney World. Have you seen this yet, John?
No, but that's interesting. It's about time they updated them a little bit if we're not going to get new ones.
Yeah, this one looks really cool, John. It really does. I mean, it says Monorail Black debuts new red deltas and sleek interior at Walt Disney World. The potential new monorail fleet may still be some time away. What have we been hearing about this, John, for 20 years now about a new monorail fleet?
It's been quite a while, that's for sure.
Yeah, since John's teenage butt sat in the seat out there, they've been hearing about new ones, right?
Since John's teenage butt worked out on the these monorails, the same ones.
Yeah. may still be some time away, but for now, we have some newly refurbished monorails to tide us over. So far, we've seen Monorail Green, Monorail Silver get a refurb and treatment, but now Monorail Black has debuted an all-new interior plus some snazzy red details, the way it's written here, painted onto his exterior. It looks really good. It has like a couple little, where the black stripe is in the center of each one, there's a red part of the middle of the stripe is painted red. We spotted the new monorail black running on the express line between the transportation and ticket center and the Magic Kingdom. And the interior looks pretty good, John.
Yeah, I might have to go check that out. I got some personal shopping to do tomorrow night. So I'm going to do that, and then maybe I can catch the new monorail if it is on the express line. So.
Yeah, it looks good, John. So go check that out. What else do we have here, John Boy? New Chip and Dale Holiday phone cases are now available, John.
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, they look pretty cool. A new there's new commemorative Star Tours merchandise released for the 30th anniversary of Disney Hollywood Studios. So if you want to check that out, John. So oh, holy moly. Bob might be in serious trouble here. He might lose some of his lunch money. Bill Nye, $28 million lawsuit against Disney may now proceed after judge's ruling.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. What is our buddy Bob going to do about this? Raise ticket prices to pay for this. Judge ruled that Bill Nye may proceed with his lawsuit against the Walt Disney Company, which seeks punitive damages reaching $28 million. I've always wondered how these punitive damages come up. I really do. Like, what makes them come up with these numbers? Nye's complaint comes from an agreement he had with Disney ABC Domestic Television, known as Buena Vista Television. How do you say Buena Vista, John?
Buena Vista.
Okay. Me and that wasn't on the show, but after the show with our lovely friends George and Jay over at the Wyndham, George tells me you got to say Buena. I said no Buena. It's Buena. I'm in Jersey. There's Buena Vista campground that my dad had a camper at for many years. And I play golf for the past 20 to 30 years at Buena Vista. And they say Buena. So in New Jersey, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's Buena. You go to Florida, it's Buena. Okay?
Yes. Yes,
so
indeed.
Anyway, with Buena Vista Television, come on. Buena sounds tougher. Known as Buena Vista Television. When the agreement was reached, when they produced his show Bill Nye the Science Guy, the agreement entitles Nye to 16.5% of the net profits from sales and distribution of the series. In April 2008, Disney sent Nye a statement and a payment for $585,000. 3 months later, Disney sent Nye a retraction of the previous payment, claiming there was an accounting error, and asked for the remittance, they wanted $496,000 of it back. Nye then asked Disney for an audit of the records, which happened in 2016. According to Fox Business, the auditors provided Nye with a preliminary finding and identified unreported royalty payment owed to Nye in excess of $9 million. Eventually, he filed a lawsuit seeking not only his original profit owed, but compensatory and punitive damages, as well as his attorney fees, allegedly. The ruling has allowed the lawsuit to proceed, and Nye made certain ordered amendments to the complaint. Disney has made attempts to have the case reduced to the court accounting speculated, while this has not yet happened. The court has agreed to place limitations on Nye's claims against Disney. Nye's representative told Fox Business, "While we are disappointed with the court's ruling yesterday and the loss, flawed legal reasoning upon relied and welcomed the opportunity to legislate the remainder of the claim." Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Bill Nye is going after Disney for $28 million because they took money back from him. I just can't see Disney trying to take money away from anybody. They're just a giving folk.
Very, very giving.
You know, so I don't know about all this. Mickey Gift Station at the Transportation and Ticket Center closed for possible refurbishment. You ever gone into this place, John?
Is that, yeah, that's the one over at TTC, right?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, one of the women that was our trainers for our first day at Magic Kingdom actually worked there.
Okay, so, cool.
Yeah, she loved it. She absolutely loved working there because it was one of the merchandise places where you got stuck at, and there was only like 7 people that worked there. So, yeah, she thought it was great. So.
Yeah, it's probably crowded but off the beaten path a little
yep,
bit. You get a little bit of break.
Exactly.
Probably between like 10 and like 6, it's probably dead in there. First thing in the morning and on the way out. Late at night. Pack.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Here we go. New artist-inspired costumes revealed for Topolino's Terrace Character Breakfast and the first look inside the lobby at Disney's Riviera Resort. Have you moseyed on over there yet, John?
Wednesday or Thursday of this week, I got a cast member preview.
Oh, that sounds awesome. It looks absolutely beautiful. And John's going to be able to use DVC points to go over there. So I'm curious about your review on that.
Yeah, they have... And they have an interesting concept with it's not a ridiculous amount of points. I think they were 14 or something like that, but they're almost like, I guess you would consider them. We have deluxe studios. This would be a very small studio, but for me and Lisa, that would be fine. You know, I mean, as long as you're not trying to put three or four people in there, if you're just the couple, a little room would be great. And if that means I get a good view can stay more nights, it works for me. So.
It would be fine as long as, I mean, for you guys, it's perfect because it allows you to save some points.
Yep.
The Mickey waffles and all are here. I mean, the menu looks pretty good. I mean, Storybook Freshers character dining menu is prefixed, shared pastry, cheese Danish, blueberry scone, croissant, epi bread, honey butter, house made jam, chocolate avocado spread. You got to have the avocado in this, John.
It's today's bacon.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's I think having avocado is a law now, don't you? I really do. I think pumpkin spice and avocado is a law. It must be. Every company must have a brand of some kind of a meal that has avocado or pumpkin spice in it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So they have a quiche gruyere is house-made panna cotta. Roasted potatoes, field greens, and lemon vinaigrette, spiced sausage hash, poached hen egg, English muffin, potato, pearl onions, chiron sauce, and fine herbs, sour cream waffles, roasted apples, chantilly, orange maple syrup, choice of smoked bacon, ham sausage, or plant-based sausage. John, I know you're going for the plant-based sausage.
Burger King and Dunkin' Donuts are killing me with this silly thing with all their plant-based stuff. I don't go to Burger King to get a plant and it frustrates me that they feel the need to disguise vegetables as a meat substance. If you like vegetables, you like vegetables. You don't have to disguise it. So,
no, I hear you. Two eggs, any style, roasted potatoes, choice of smoked bacon, ham sausage, or plant-based sausage. A croissant du jambon. Ham, brie, bruschetta, field greens, and lemon vinaigrette. I probably said that like our buddy, highfalutin Robbie, would say. Croissant au jambon. Oh, lovey. Just eggs omelet, wild mushroom, spinach, daiya cheese, plant-based sausage, smoked salmon. That smoked salmon, it comes on an everything bagel. Come on, guys, a Florida bagel. You kidding me? I mean, you might as well just put it on the sole of a shoe. It's the same texture, John. Especially if some of those shoes that are biodegradable, just use one of those. Everything bagel, tomato, red onion, cream cheese, and capers. Wood fire butcher steak, polenta, I didn't even read this. Tomatoes, roasted onions, wild mushroom, and watercress, and then a fruit plate. You can get a fruit plate. Then they got non-alcoholic beverages, specialty cocktails. Then they got Bellinis and mimosas, signature dining menu. They got antipasta, marine olives, heritage hog terrine. It's a brioche, heirloom apple, celery, and endive, gnocchi, and ricotta. So there's a lot of things on the menu. Then they have it's a big menu, John.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good though.
And they have the seafood and meats look really good. The classic sole, sea beans, capers, lemon, confit, petite potatoes, but they have this king salad, king salmon with a mio coot. It's an artichoke risotto, sauce vergo, upland cress. And they have olives on it. But if you look at the plate, it really looks delicious. They have a braised lamb shank, tomahawk veal chop we talked about the tomahawk steaks before. A friend of ours cut the took the bone off and just cooked the steak. I mean, the whole part of the tomahawk is to cook the with the bone on. Am I wrong, John?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's why I like bone-in ribeyes and stuff like that. It gives you leave the bone in there and it keeps the steak moist and gives it more flavor. You take the bone off, you're defeating the purpose.
Absolutely. They got a triple A fillet, truffled mashed potatoes, charred torpedo onions with a special vinaigrette. Everything. I mean, this restaurant looks very good. The views are good. I'm looking forward to heading over here, John.
Yep. Looks like a good time. So, yeah, hopefully this week I can get some nice pictures of everything. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about it, John, because I love when you give us your review, because you're going to say it from the Blue Collar Guy Report is what we should call it. So, what else do we have here, John? Do you have any more news yourself?
Let's just say that I may be interviewing for a new position out here this week. I'm not going to say what it is for fear of cursing it, but it's something that I'm going to enjoy thoroughly. So I would greatly appreciate any warm thoughts, pixie dust, or prayers, whatever you may wish to send my way. But I would like anything that any positive thoughts you can send my way. So.
Well, I know we could get all of our listeners. I mean, especially Judith and Tommy. Like, Judith is she's a little princess. If she says prayers for you, she's our little Tinkerbell. If she says the prayers for us, John, they'll probably go through, right?
I hope so.
So say your prayers for us, everybody out there, please. Believe me, I'm praying for them, but I don't know if the big guy's listening to me. So help John out.
Oh, that's that Doug guy again. Yeah, all he ever does is pray for Eagles victories. Never mind.
Yeah, and you see how well that's going. He stopped listening 2 years ago.
Yeah, he gave you the Super Bowl. What more did you want, you know?
Yeah, he did. I want another one now. I'm greedy. I want us to start cheating like them. I mean, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to do a retraction.
There you were, all on Tommy and Judith's good side, and then boom.
I couldn't help myself. I sent Carson a gift pack of teaching him how to fall down and complain for a flag, and I sent him a little pin to put in the football to adjust the air for himself. Maybe he'll throw a better spiral. What do you think?
Yeah, that'll work.
I'm sorry. I love you guys. Anyway, speaking of loving somebody, did you watch the last couple Mandalorians?
Yes, I haven't watched the one that dropped yesterday, but I watched episode 4, so.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like that one a lot. It's still following my classic Western themed movie, outlaw or kind of outlaws help small village defeat bad guys, right?
So yeah, that was pretty good. It was cool to see Gina Carano in there.
Yeah, she played a pretty good character too. I was kind of surprised because you said she was an MMA fighter, and a lot of times you don't expect much acting skills out of them, folks. But yeah, she did a good job. So
yeah, well, she's been around on the acting circuit now for probably 15 years. I think she because she was so popular, she was Ronda Rousey before Ronda Rousey. Like, she literally started the women's MMA. Like,
gotcha.
She was the first popular one, and. Producers came to her and got her in her own live action movie. I forget what the name of it was. It was like one of them Jean-Claude Van Damme movies for a woman. You know what I'm saying? It was what it was. It was us stupid guys drinking a beer, eating a slice of pizza. We were in our heaven, John. Like, our wives were looking at us like, this movie's stupid. But for guys, it was a guy movie, if you follow me. And it was decent. But what got to her is she's bigger than Rodney, and she could hit. But what happened with her was she started making money doing movies the same way that I think that's what got Rhonda's butt kicked. She got out of it, and that wasn't her whole life, and she started doing movies, and I'm sorry. It's like what happened to Mike Tyson. You start to get cleaned up. It's kind of hard to be that angry when you're eating caviar and drinking. You know what I'm saying?
It's real easy to be all upset with the world and angry and gritty and stuff when you're from the mean streets of Philadelphia or something. But once you're living in L.A. and, like you said, eating caviar and lobster, you lose a bit of that angst, right?
Yeah, so. If one day I own the Home Depot, I'm not going to want to go hang sheetrock. I mean, I could probably still do with the best of them, but I'm not going to be at my best, if you understand what I'm saying. It kind of takes the edge off you. And she started to realize, because she did do a partial comeback. She won a fight, and then she got away from it. And she's been doing movies for a long time since then. She did The Fast and the Furious. She was actually The Rock's partner in a couple of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay.
She played a cop with The Rock after all the guys jumping their cars off of the crazy stuff. Another stupid guy movie, which I've seen every one of them multiple times. Tokyo was the worst one. But when they jump from skyscraper to skyscraper, John, with cars, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You know how believable that is. But, you know, you're watching like idiot. Yeah, I mean, seriously, though, they were jumping through windows of the skyscrapers and landing in other skyscrapers and still driving the cars, you know?
Yeah, that
I mean, I want one of those cars built, dude, where you jump off a 30-foot roof of a building and it lands and it still rides. You remember the old days watching the Dukes of Hazzard? And you literally see the General Lee bending, like, half, like, they didn't edit it perfectly. And, like, you'd see it land and dent as it landed, right?
Yes.
Especially,
yeah, you could see the frame break. Yes.
Yes. And back then you really couldn't see it because it wasn't as high def, and you didn't have pause. And I remember my godson was over, and I was watching one of them, and I have the DVR. So me and him were cracking up because I was pausing it, rewinding, and you'd see, like, the car halfway broken, and then it would play in the brand new General Lee's driving down the road.
Yep.
But anyway, what else we have, John Boy? We have a couple more refreshments here, but John isn't really interested. Something about a work on a Disney cruise line. I don't even want to get into that. That's nasty. Perfectly soft and sweet caramel gingerbread cookie sandwich arrives at Caramela Kiosk in Epcot. I'll tell you what, this looks pretty interesting, John. I don't know if you would like it, but the German caramel is out of this world. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Werther's and all.
The caramel couche store. Yeah, it's very, very good.
Yeah, because I'm not a caramel in its caramel form fan as much as I am. Like, I love the Werther's hard candies. I take them to work with me, like, almost all the time. They're, like, my go-to. And I started doing them. This is my trick of trying to... I stay, you know, that's how I try to keep this gorgeous figure that I have. Instead of eating cupcakes or something after lunch, I'll eat a couple Werther's candies, and it gives you the same reaction as having something sweet in your mouth besides throwing a cupcake down your throat.
Oh, there you go.
So it gives you that sweet refreshing, the sweet, you feel the need, the craving for it, but you're not eating all the calories. So I enjoy them. But anyway, cast member, here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Guten Tag from Epcot German Pavilion. Today we pop by into Caramel Kiosk to try out the new gingerbread cookie sandwich. Spoiler alert, it did not disappoint. It looks like, how can I put it, John? You know the Whoopie sandwiches or whatever they were called?
Yeah, Whoopie
pies.
Whoopie pies.
Whoopie pies. Yeah, it's what it looks like, but a caramel version.
Like the carrot cake cookie from Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it looks like that. Would they wish that they still had back at, what was it called?
Rider Stop.
There you go. I knew you would pull it out. I knew you knew that. A cast member procured the treat from the cooler case, wrapped it in wax paper, placed it in a plastic to-go-to box, and handed it over to us for $5.99. Or a Disney dining plan snack credit, guys. So that's a hell of a snack credit deal. So go do that. Use your snack credits on that, not the cookies back at the hotel that ain't worth 2 cents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, much better use of your credits.
Yep. These cookies are two large, incredibly soft, and perfectly spiced gingerbread cookies. They do look fresh, John. They are exactly what you always wished. Stale, crunchy gingerbread was actually like. The cookies are firm enough that they hold their shape, but soft enough that your fingers will leave an imprint after a while of holding it. We took it outside and examined it further and to get some pictures of the gorgeous cookie. Isn't the caramel stripe just amazing? It's like full of the cream, but the caramel goes all the way around the outside of the cream. It was so tempting to take a bite before the photo shoot was over, but we resisted. It really does look good. So when it was finally time to eat, we cut it in half for a nice cross section. Then it was time to take a bite of the soft cookie. The gingerbread cookie was perfectly soft and spiced, truly an amazing piece of gingerbread. It was like what we wish gingerbread houses would taste like, instead of the stale old cardboard to disappoint. This might be the best gingerbread cookie that they ever had. The frosting on the inside was just like frosting you use on a gingerbread house. It was hardened on the outside, but kind of fluffy and melts in your mouth on the inside. They're totally happy. While the caramel stripe is beautiful, the flavor was not detectable at all. Overall, this treat was absolutely amazing. Personally, I would have recommended you skip the pitful cookie treat and go straight for this one. So it's telling you not to grab any of the other cookies on property or any other dining plan cookies and just go get this over at the French Pavilion and try to sneak back and see Remy. Or Germany Pavilion.
Yeah, it sounds really good. It sounds very reminiscent of the carrot cake cookie. So kind of the same style, same type of texture to the cookie and stuff. So yeah, it sounds very good.
And there's a bunch of other odds and ends, John. The Tron roller coaster is moving forward. You got to get over. Did you get to pop your head in Jock Lindsey's bar to see the decorations?
We walked past, but again, that was when we were rushing over to Epcot. So yeah, that's what we should have done, but we didn't. So
okay,
no.
I wasn't picking on you. I was just curious if you did. New Mickey Mouse globe structure is visible at Disneyland. Wasn't anything to do with us. One more minute, John, and I'll let you go. I know you got to go by 9, right?
Yep.
Now, I know I'm holding you on here, but there was something else I wanted to see. New incredible phone cases. Did you get to see them at all, John?
No, I didn't see any of those. There was a lot of phone cases out there, but and something a little disappointing, you know, at the D-Tech store, you go in there and I always thought you could almost get any case you wanted with the styles, and they don't. You know, like you build your own one. So I thought I'd go to XR, or iPhone XR, and be able to get any case I wanted, and they still didn't have the one I wanted. There's a 3D e-ticket 1971 out there that looks fantastic, but they do not have it for XRs. So very disappointing. Yeah.
Walt Disney World transitioning into generic compositable plates at quick service dining locations. They kind of look like a hat if you turn them upside down. They're like a bowl. Are you excited about the Rise of Skywalker, John?
We'll go see it. I'm thinking I like the Mandalorian a lot more than I'm probably going to like Rise of Skywalker, but we feel obligated to go see it. I mean, I've seen every Star Wars movie there's been out in the theater, so yeah, I have to go see it. So.
Well, I know they probably have 10 times the amount of money spent on the new Rise of Skywalker, though.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the budget was astronomical. I don't know. I think J.J. Abrams was back doing this one, so I'm hoping it redeems itself from Part 8. So we'll see.
Did you see this, John? New Jingle Cruise Nutcracker Tiki Mug slays into Trader Sam's at Walt Disney World. That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's holding like a captain's wheel. So you can head over to Trader Sam's and get this. It says Jungle All the Way on the bottom of it. So be a nice little souvenir.
Yeah, our break room is right on the other side of the Jungle Cruise. And so they're doing the Jingle Cruise. They come by and they do the Bah Humbug joke. And they yell, Bah. And we're supposed to yell at them back. So half the time I'm sitting in the break room, you hear people yelling, Bah, across the way. So if you ever wonder who's yelling, Bah, back at you from the other side of the woods, it would be us pirates.
There you go. On the bottom of it says, First Edition Trader Sam's Grog Grotto Disney. And then right at the top of it, the guy left on, Made in China. So sad, man. And what do you think it costs for this mug, John? You do get one filling of a drink with it. A Jingle Jamber. You get a Jingle Jamber, a Tropical Snowstorm, or a Malay Kali Mai Tai.
$74.95.
No, dude, you could buy two. It's only $40, John.
Hey.
My God, I can't believe you think that that would be $70. It goes to show you how they overprice crap.
Yeah, well, I know the Nautilus one was $99.95, so that's what I was going with.
Yeah, so. I hear you. That's having too much knowledge. This is pretty cool too, John, then I'll let you go. New merchandise, apparel, toys, pins, and magic bands revealed for Mickey's Mini Runaway Railroad at Hollywood Studios. So they got some really, I would like to have this. They have a really neat pin. It says opening day 2020, Runaway Railroad. There's a pin. And there's a bunch of other stuff. They got a phone case here, John, limited edition. The t-shirts. And then they got like a really cool railroad conductor hat. I can't pull them off, but it does look pretty cool. My buddies that do the plumbing in the and the Mini Mickey Magic Band Runaway Railroad's really cool. It kind of looks like an old how gotta put it? It's like black, but it has like the way the characters are written on it. Kind of looks like something that was made drawn, if you understand what I'm saying. Like now they used to draw back in the day on the dark screens, with
yeah,
the markers. Like yeah, it kind of looks like that, John.
Oh, cool.
So. But anyway, these are all going to be going up for sale very shortly, so go check them out. I can't pull off those railroad hats, but a lot of the plumbers wear them, and they wear them backwards because it covers the back of their neck. So when they're welding, if something drips, it don't burn the back of their neck.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, when they're soldering, so. But anyway, John, I'm sure there's more out there, but again, you're recording on Saturday morning. You got to get in so we don't get you late. And we don't ruin you from getting your new job.
Yeah, that would be bad. That would be very bad.
So, but anyway, John, we're going to say goodbye to everybody. You have a great day over at Pirates. Be nice to everybody, matey, just because you're leaving hopefully in a week or two. You know, still be nice, John.
I'm always nice, Doug. I'm always nice. I'm the nice one. You forget.
Yeah, that's what Judith and Tommy said. I don't know why. And everybody likes you more, but it's okay. It's okay to be second once in a while. But anyway, everybody be kind to one another. Guys, please head over to iTunes. If you want to give us a Christmas present, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Anything would be good. Just say you're listening. And that's all that really matters. For some reason, it helps us, especially with the update. We're finally back. It's working better in the search engine now, John. But when they switched everything over for the first couple weeks, you had to type almost our whole name in to get us to come up again.
Yeah, folks. The only way that other new listeners can find us is by having good or any iTunes reviews. So yes, please take the time. It doesn't take long either. It takes maybe 2-3 minutes to leave us a review, and we really don't care what you say. Just say thanks or good luck or keep John off the air. I don't care.
No,
but leave us a review, and it would mean a lot to us. And also, if you want to check out any of the videos that are recorded over the week, I've got a lot of photos from the Christmas tree trail. I've got video of our beautiful cruise down the Sasagula, and I've got a fantastic feat from B1 on Thorin, all videoed on our Facebook page, and that would be the WDW Main Street Pub. Just send us a request to join our Facebook page, and you'll get through, and you can post and share some of your pictures and stuff like that. So it'd be great to have you.
No, well, you're doing a good job on that. John don't like Twitter as much, so he's a Facebook guy. So go over to Facebook and check it out. And remember, if you leave the review, John's the nice one. I'm the good-looking one. If you just want to write that in there, that'll be fine, too.
I'll take nice. I'll take nice over good-looking any day.
That's what the nice guys always say.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding, Johnny. I love you, man. But anyway, please head over to iTunes, leave us a review. Everybody be kind to one another like John always is, and we will talk to you real soon. Say goodbye,
right,
Johnny.
Bye-bye, folks. Have a great week.
Bye-bye. That's it, guys. We're going to pay our tabs, hop off our stools, and head on home. But we really appreciate you guys listening. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Also, if you could, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us all at our website. It's all in WDW. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.